This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Psalms 107 verse 1 says this. Look what it says. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." Amen? Give thanks unto the Lord, he is good. You know, somebody said, "Well, I don't feel." Did you know the Bible never commands you to feel thankful? The Bible never commands you to feel thankful. It commands us to express thankfulness, but it never commands us to feel thankful. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let's pray. Jesus, I love you and I praise you. Would you speak to us and through us? And God, for all you're going to do, we're just going to bow our unworthy heads and we're just going to praise you. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Till you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about ways to say thank you to God. Ways to say thank you to God. I'll give you a name. His name is Nick Walenda. Nick Walenda. And when I give the name Nick Walenda, somebody says, "I don't know the name Nick Walenda. Who is that?" Well, actually, he was a tightrope walker. He walked tightropes. I studied about him, and he said, "When I started out, I'd walk a tightrope that was about 2 feet off the ground." He said, "That way I knew if I fell, it was okay." But Nick Walenda was a tightrope walker. But he progressed, and he progressed, and he progressed. And on June the 15th, 2012, Nick Walenda decided that he would walk a tightrope over Niagara Falls. I mean, literally, he's going to walk a tightrope over Niagara Falls. Now, here's what's so amazing. Not only was he going to walk the tightrope over Niagara Falls, but he was going to have no net underneath him. So that is to say, if he had fallen, he was certainly going to die because of the rocky terrain. And because of the impact of hitting the water, he would die immediately. But he felt like he was supposed to do this. So Nick Walenda got on the tightrope and he started walking across Niagara Falls. They put a microphone on Nick Walenda and they was listening to closely. What would this guy be saying as he's walking a tightrope over Niagara Falls? And this is what he said. First of all, he said, "Thank you, Jesus." Boy, if I was walking a tightrope over Niagara Falls, I'd be saying, "Thank you, Jesus." Amen? He'd be the one I'd be talking to, "Thank you, Jesus." But not only did he say, "Thank you, Jesus," but he said, "Thank you, Jesus, for your presence." And not only did he say, "Thank you, Jesus, for your presence," as he would take a step, he would say, "Thank you, Jesus, for the strength to continue on." I want you to know, Nick Walenda walked all the way across that tightrope and he got on the other side and he said, "Thank you, God, that I made it." Now, folks, we're not walking a tightrope, but we are walking a road. Amen. We are on a journey. And I'm convinced the way to have strength for this journey, the way to have strength for this journey is to develop an attitude of gratitude. Because let me tell you something, an attitude of gratitude helps you to live on the highest altitude. An attitude of gratitude helps you to live on the highest altitude. Now let me say this, folks. If the Bible says something one time, that's profound. Somebody said, "God said it and I believe it," and that settles it. No, no, no. If God said it, that settles it, whether we believe it or not. Amen? It's forever settled in heaven. If God said it one time, ladies and gentlemen, that is profound. But let me tell you what God said 73 times. Not one time, not two times, but 73 times God said this. 73 times God said, "We are to give thanks to him." 73 times God said, "We are to give thanks to him." See, folks, we don't need more to be thankful. We don't need more to be thankful. We need to be more thankful. We don't need more to be thankful. We simply need to be more thankful. Let me give you something to think about, folks. Gratitude that is never expressed expresses ingratitude. Gratitude that is never expressed expresses ingratitude. Now, I can't think of a better story when I think about gratitude than the story in Luke chapter 17. The story in Luke chapter 17 of 10 men that had leprosy and they were healed. Now, this is not what I'm preaching from today, but I do want to give you something from Luke chapter 17. Three little simple principles from Luke chapter 17 in gratitude. Principle number one, ladies and gentlemen, is you've got to see it. You've got to see it. If you look what the Bible says there in verse 12, look what it says. It says, and as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. And they stood afar off, look. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master. Get this, folks. You know what the word, they didn't just say Jesus, but they said Master. You know what the word Master means? It means Commander in Chief. Commander in Chief. Let me tell you something, folks. We can't be grateful till we see it. We can't be grateful till we realize that today you will breathe 23,000 times. You will breathe 23,000 breaths. And I want to report to you, God gave you every one of those breaths. I want to report to you, God gave you every one of those breaths. The Bible says in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Today you're breathing, ladies and gentlemen, because of God. And folks, we won't be grateful till we see that everything we have is from God. I want you to know something. You say, well, Pastor, you got to understand something. I work hard for everything I've got. No, you need to understand something. No, you need to understand something that Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 said it's the God that gives you power to get wealth. You need to realize it's God that gives you the strength to get out of bed. It's God that gave you that job. It's the God that gives you everything that you have. See, folks, let me tell you something. We many times are like Snoopy on Thanksgiving. Snoopy gets up and it's Thanksgiving morning. By the way, this is a true story. He gets up, it's Thanksgiving morning, and he's outside and it's cold. And Snoopy looks inside and they're having country ham. And Snoopy looks inside and they're having dressing. And he looks inside and they're having pumpkin pie. And he looks inside and they're having cranberry sauce. And he looks inside and they're having fried okra. I just threw that in because I like okra. But anyway, he looks inside and he sees all that. And Snoopy said, my goodness, look at them in there. I should be in there. He said, they're having that delicious stuff. And I'm out here in the cold having dog food. And then Snoopy says these words, but you know, things could be worse. I could have been born a turkey. Friend, you could have been born a turkey too, amen? God's been good to us, but we got to see it. But let me tell you something. Not only you have to see it, but you have to say it. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 15, it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, and he glorified God. Get this. 10 of them were healed, but one of them said it. Only one of them expressed gratitude. Not only you have to see it, not only do you have to say it, but you have to show it. Wait, say, Pastor, what do you mean you have to show it? You say, well, I feel thankful. No, feeling is not enough. Just, it's like with your mate. Well, I feel like I love you. No. No, you have to tell it. You've got to tell your mate, I love you. A bell's not a bell until you ring it. A song's not a song until you sing it. Love's not put in your heart to stay. It's not love until you give it away. You say, now what about gratitude? Well, you got to see it, you got to say it, and you got to Show it. Well, look what, how he showed it. And one of them was healed. And when he saw that he was healed, look what he did. He turned back. The other nine kept going, but one turned back. Not only did he turn back, the Bible says, with a loud voice, he glorified God. But when God had touched his larynx, the vocal cords would shut down during leprosy. So with a loud voice, he glorified God. Now wait, not only did he do that, he fell down on his face and he gave thanks. See, I want you to understand, when it comes to gratitude, we got to see it, we got to say it, but God says, I want you to show it. And that's why I'm so glad you came today. I'm so glad you're here. What a good looking group. We had an ugly group at 8 o'clock. What a good looking group. What a good looking group. You said, Pastor Benny, I want to show it. I want to show God that I'm grateful. And I said, Pastor Benny, I really want to show him that I'm grateful. I want to have an attitude of gratitude, because an attitude of gratitude helps me to live on the highest altitude. So I want to show him. I want to show him that I'm grateful. Good. You're in the right place, because I'm going to tell you how. How can I show him I'm grateful? First of all, by singing to God. By singing to God. Do you realize, folks, that singing is mentioned 185 times in the Bible? 185. Now, here's what's amazing. You may not know this. You may not know this about God. God sings. You say, Pastor, I didn't know that God sings. He sure does. I'm going to tell you that God sings in a few moments. I'm going to prove to you that God sings, and then I'm going to show you what God actually sings about. Look what the Bible says. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice, wait, over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. God sings, ladies and gentlemen. And what God sings about is us. Whew. If it wasn't for my Methodist dignity, I'd shout. Let me tell you something. God sings, and what God sings about is us. Can you imagine one day, folks, when we get to heaven and God is singing over us, and he's singing about us? I can't imagine, folks, that God is singing over us and he's singing about us. You say, but wait, Brother Benny, I can't sing. Yes, you can. I'm a baritone singer. When I sing, people can barely bear the tone. But look here. But it was a great day in my life when I realized I'm not singing to them anyway. I'm not singing to them anyway. That's why I sing, because, folks, I'm not singing to them anyway. The Bible says in Psalms 95:1, oh, come, let us sing. Wait! Unto the Lord! Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. You say, well, I want to tell the Lord I love him. I'll tell you how you can tell him you love him. Just sing praises to him. That's one way you can tell him you love him. I used to be confused. I'm still confused about a lot of things. But I used to think, one day I'm going to get to heaven. One day I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to be able to sing like Michael Bolton. I thought, one day I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to be able to sing like Lionel Richie, Stuck on You. I used to think, man, one day I'm going to get to heaven, I'll be able to hit them high notes like David Phelps. But you know, I won't. Because I know the Bible. And in John chapter 20, the way Mary recognized the voice of Jesus is he had the same voice in the fleshly body as he did in the glorified body. So, Pastor Benny, what are you going to sound like when you get to heaven? You're hearing it right now. You're hearing it right now. What are you going to sound like? You're hearing it right now. What are you going to sound like? I'm hearing it when you talk. You know why? I'm going to sound like this. You're going to sound like that. Because it's already beautiful to God. See, your voice is beautiful to Him just like it is. Because He made it just like it is. And when you sing to Him, it's your way of saying, I love you, Lord. And He's saying when you sing just in that voice, in this Benny Tate baritone voice, God is saying, that's beautiful to my ears. Let me tell you another way. You say, Pastor, I really want to express my love to God. Well, I'll tell you another way you can express your love to God. That's to give back to God. That's to give back to God. See, you can give without loving. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. You say, Pastor Benny, I got a deep love for God. You probably do. But I tell you how I can know for sure. If I can just look at that calendar and checkbook. That's right. Yeah. Don't nobody drop your head. I'll let you know when we're going to pray. But see, you can look at my calendar and you can look at my checkbook and you can find out what I really do love. I'm preaching better than you're responding. It was Christmas season. A guy goes down to the department store and he says, I want to get a bottle of perfume for the wife. And they show him a bottle and he said, how much is it? And they said, $50. He said, can I see something cheaper? They showed him another bottle and he said, how much is it? And they said, $35. He said, well, can I see something cheaper? And they showed him another bottle and he said, how much is it? And they said, it's $20. He said, can I see something cheaper? And they showed him a mirror. What I've learned, folks, when we really love God, when we really love God, we want to give to God. And I'm not going to preach a long time here. I know what some of you are thinking. Hallelujah. But I will tell you this, I'll promise you this. God has taught me more about faith with finances than any other area of my life. Amen. Look here, y'all come up real close. There's a reason why there's 500 verses in the Bible on prayer. There's 500 verses in the Bible on faith, but 2,300 verses in the Bible about finances. Because God has taught me more about trust. You get this, folks. Finances has nothing to do with money in the Bible. It has everything to do with trying to teach us that we can trust the Lord. It has everything to do with teaching you that you can trust the Lord. What God is trying to teach us, ladies and gentlemen, is everything that we have, God has given us anyway. See, all money's tainted. It taint yours and it taint mine. It's God's. Amen. It's God's. God has given us everything we have, and we have an opportunity to what we do with it. See, there's people, get this. There's people in life that God's wanted to do great things in your life. God's wanted to do exponential, supernatural things in your life. But I'll tell you what's held God back. He can't trust you to do what's right concerning finances. You say, Pastor, where do you get that? Luke, the book of Luke. If you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? God said, I really want to use your life, but I can't use your life because I can't trust you to do what's right with your finances. I can't get it to you because I can't get it through you. God said, I'd like to get it to you and get it through you, but the problem is you've got sticky fingers. Now look here. I've lived this for 35 years. You say, Pastor Benny, from the day you became a Christian, I know you're such a great man of God. I don't know about all that. But I know from the day you became a Christian, you was a tither immediately. No, I wasn't. I'd like to tell you I was, but I wasn't. God had to teach it to me. God had to teach it to me. And look here. You look here. I've lived by 10-10-80. And I'm done. I'll move to the next point. But I've lived by 10-10-80. I'm going to give God the first 10%. I'm going to save 10%. And I'm going to live on the 80%. I've lived by that for 35 years. And I promise you it works. You say, Pastor Benny, I'm thinking about trying tithing. Look here. If you want to try it and it don't work, you come see me personally, and I'll give you your money back. You say, wow, what confidence. My confidence is not in me. My confidence is in God. How do you show gratitude? Here's how you show gratitude, folks. You show gratitude to singing to God. You show gratitude, look here, folks, by giving back to God. He's the one who gave it all to you anyway. He's the one who gave it all to you anyway. We're just stewards. He gave it all to us. Let me tell you the third way that you can express gratitude to God. That's by celebrating the Lord's Supper. See, every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to remember what God's done for us. Now, let me explain something, folks, as you take your little cup out right now. If you're at home, you can have the elements there. But as you take your little cup out right now, I want you to understand something, folks. This is not, you say, well, I'm not a Christian. I'm not a follower of Christ. Well, this is not for people that are not followers of Christ. This is for people that are followers of Jesus Christ. When you take that little cup out and you'll pull it back, it's hard for me to do, but you'll pull it back. There's a verse. I want you to look at me. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body. Hold it right there just a minute. He said, see that little wafer that you're holding, that little wafer that you're holding, that represents that I was beaten with a cat of nine tails. That represents that literally I was beaten 39 stripes with a cat of nine tails, and most men did not live through it because their intestinal tract would be jerked out. That represents that as I walked through the crowd, they would literally reach out and take my beard, and they would pull my beard out till my face would start bleeding. It represents that they took a crown of thorns, poisonous thorns. And they made a crown and they put it down on my head, and they took a reed and they started beating it down into the most, one of the most tender parts of the body, that being the skull. It represents that they laid me back on a cross and they took a spike and they put it right there through the median nerve. It represents for 6 hours, my body went through hell. Amen. For 6 hours, I was tortured. I was in pain. Then he said, every time you look at that wafer, you realize that little wafer represents what I did for you. And ladies and gentlemen, when we look at it from that perspective, I will promise you, we will say thank you. Thank you. Take, eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. And then he said in verse 25, after the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, he said, This cup represents my blood. See, when Jesus died on the cross, one of the last things they did, according to Romans chapter 19, they took a spear and they rammed it in his side. Now get this. And when they rammed that spear in his side, blood flowed out. Get this, wait. Notice it says, and there came out blood. Notice the blood is mentioned first. Because Ephesians 1 and 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Through his blood. Oh, I wish I could sing. I'd sing, what will wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. That? No? So the blood flowed first. Wait. And then water. John 4, 13 and 14. Whosoever drank of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drank of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The water represents the living water. Because we've been washed in the blood, we can experience the living water. Take, this is my blood of the New Testament, drink ye all. See, there's a lot of words for the Lord's Supper. Communion, the Lord's Supper. Another word is Eucharist, a Greek word, which simply means thanksgiving. And one of the ways that we thank God is through celebrating the Lord's Supper. Let me give you the last way, folks, that we show gratitude to God. The last way we show gratitude to God is expressing gratitude to others. Expressing gratitude to others. Because people were made in the image of God. You know, I looked at the greatest Christian who ever lived other than Jesus Christ, and that would have been the great Apostle Paul. And I started looking at Paul's letters, whether it be the letter to the Romans, the letter to the Corinthians, the letter to the Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, or Timothy, his son in the Lord. He always started out by saying, I thank God for you. I thank God for you. He said, Pastor, how can I express gratitude to God? You can express gratitude to God by expressing gratitude to people. You can express gratitude to God by expressing gratitude to people. And if there's something that God wants us to do, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, get this. It says in Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily. Folks, we got so much to be grateful for. Get this. If you've got food in your refrigerator, how many would say that's me, Pastor? Look here. You're in the wealthiest 25% of the people in the world. You're able to read. 2 billion people in our world can't read. She was born in America. We've got so much to be grateful for. Let me tell you something. I was in the 8 o'clock service preaching, but I observe And there was a lady standing right there. She was singing in the choir. I looked over and she was lifting her hand up and praising the Lord. Just lifting her hand up and praising the Lord. You say, well, what's special about that? I preached her husband's funeral right here yesterday. I preached her husband's funeral right here yesterday, but today she comes to the house of God, lifts her hands up, and praises the Lord. She said, oh, Pastor, I'll miss him. We were married 42 years. I'll miss him. But I know he's in heaven. And I know that life here is just a vapor anyway. I know God's got a big plan. I know I'll see him again. I know I don't sorrow as those who have no hope. I know, Pastor, I've got so much to be grateful for. Let me tell you something, folks. Let me make a statement. Let me make this statement. Look here, folks. You can't be grateful for something that you feel entitled to. You can't feel grateful for something that you feel entitled to. And the problem many times, we get an entitlement mentality. We get an entitlement mentality, and not having an attitude of gratitude and not looking around us and saying, I just thank God. I've just got so much to thank the Lord for. I've just got so much to be grateful for. I've got so much to rejoice in. God's been so incredible. God brought this person in my life. Oh, we ought to stand to our feet and just praise the Lord. God brought this person into my life, and God brought that person into my life. Look here, I'm almost done, but right before I left the house this morning, I said, you know, Barbara, and we was talking about all through the years, and I said, you know, there's people that have came to the church and left. But I said, you know, Barbara, what I've learned to start doing? She said, what's that? I've learned to just thank God for the time they were there. I've just learned to thank God for the season that God brought them in my life and the help they were to me. Just the season that these people were in my life. I'm just saying, folks, we've got so much to be grateful for. We've got so much to be grateful for. And I would encourage you today, it might be a card, it may be a letter, it may be a text, it may be a visit, but express gratitude to people. Express gratitude to people. You say, well, I didn't have the best mom or daddy. Well, you wouldn't be here without them. There's always something to thank God for, amen?
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.